this week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I am having a chat with a creator that I have seen around the wild. I've seen out in the wild from time to time. It is the creator u/B Splines. Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. How about you?
I'm well. It's Saturday night. I have a glass of wine. I am prepared. So let's have a chat. I'm excited for this. First of all, though, I need to know what shall I call you?
Just call me Splines.
Splines? Yeah. Lovely.
People kind of struggle with B Splines. I don't know why.
Yeah. How did you come up with that username?
So anyone who have spoken with me for more than 10 minutes consecutively will know that I am a mathematics nerd. And B-splines is it's a type of curve that comes from computational geometry.
Okay.
And basically I had to quickly come up with a handle for my kinky stuff.
Okay.
So I decided I would go with something that could resemble rope and also that is mathematical.
I like it. It's creative. I like it. There's a reference there. You're scratching that maths nerd itch. And rope. Yeah. I'm here for it. that's great.
I don't actually like B-splines. I think they're terrible to work with. There are other types of curves that are better, but they sound like they have like old people names. I don't want to.
Is it named? Is that porn. Is that
Bezier curves, for example, which is named after a person? Okay. I don't want to, you know, appropriate.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Porn.
Is B Splines a person's? Was it named after a person as well?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. So it stands for basis splines.
Okay.
It's just English words.
Okay. All right. I got it. Well, I like the representation of rope. That makes complete sense. So Splines, first of all, what do you do in this sort of erotic and non-erotic space? How do you contribute?
Yeah, so I make audios with my voice, mm-hmm. obviously. I tend to make kinky audios or some that have a dynamic.
Right.
I fluctuate. I'm a switch in real life, so mm-hmm. I will make both dominant and submissive audios.
Yeah.
And they just feel right, regardless. I make gender-bent audios for the most part, which has kind of become my thing. I think I started on my third audio with gender-bending because I realized when I was reading a script, there's a lot of overlap between these would-be two versions, like for male and female.
Yeah.
Me being pansexual also in real life.
Right.
So I just started experimenting with that and it went really well.
It was received well, or you enjoyed the process and, you know, what you're creating? Or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both, definitely. And also, if I see an M for F script that isn't gender bent, I'll, for example, ask if it's not stated on the script itself, I'll ask them directly for permission to gender bend, because it's now that I've kind of worked that into my workflow, it's pretty easy for the most part to gender bend scripts.
Can you tell me what you mean specifically by gender bend? It's not just flipping a script. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah,
I'm
a little flipping, bit naive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, flipping. So say I read an M for F script and the plot kind of works towards flipping, so making it into an M for M script or an M for TF or M for TM script as well. I'll try to do that if the writer is okay with it.
Yeah. So yeah, do you record
just a lot of overlap?
All different, because I'm seeing here on your audio master list here, your content index, you've got, do you do like four different versions of the same audio, or do you edit parts in and out?
Yeah, I'll record inline. So I will usually what I'll do, I'll have my own kind of document that I've prepared for this recording if I'm flipping.
Right.
So I'll... it's kind of situational. Sometimes there are just singular words that need to flip. So, like, if I were to say... like genital references are usually... well, they can come in singular words. So, like, I'll have male genitalia or female genitalia. Sure. Or I'll have, like, some sentence that describes more the, like, feminine versus masculine side of things. But they're also usually pretty short. So it's easy to just record that as I go and then retake for the other gendered versions.
Okay, while you're in the middle of... So you do one main recording, but, like, swapping in and out lines... while you're still in the middle of that process. Okay, because...
makes it easier to edit.
Yeah, of course. Because you need to sort of, I guess, maintain tone and pacing and your cadencing, your phrasing, and, just all of that. I was wondering, like, surely you don't do four different recordings. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe you're a masochist. I don't know. I get it.
Some of these audios are, like, 20 minutes long. Like, on average, I think. And I have to listen through them all as well. And QA takes a while, quality assurance.
I'm sure. A couple of weeks ago, I listened to one of your audios, and I'd inadvertently clicked on the M for M one, and I thought, and I heard it. I thought, hang on now. Am I handsome? Righto, I can take that. But then I had a look at what was playing. Went, oh, okay, I've clicked the wrong one. That's okay. This is interesting. I get it. It can be quite a simple. Are some of them a little bit more complex? Do you think? I guess if you've read the script prior to, you know.
Do you mean like the genders?
Yeah, sometimes it's not as simple as just replacing a word or something more descriptive. I would imagine.
So anything that has to do with sexuality, like coming out to your best friend as gay, obviously that wouldn't work for a female version because we would not be having sex then.
That's not happening.
Obviously stuff like that is just like, I'll just make the male and trans male version.
Brilliant.
For trans folks, which is something I've like slowly been kind of have been researching a lot and trying to wrap my head around this because I am not trans myself. I do have a couple of friends who are one of my best friends are, and I just feel like that it would be nice to incorporate that as well.
It is a bit of a minefield. Yeah, though. I mean, it's such a... I was going to say sensitive.
I guess it is.
How do you do that?
I think that's a fair assumption because, trans folks can sometimes struggle with dysphoria. So meaning that you aren't like feeling... certain words are not good for you.
Yeah.
I would not be calling a trans woman handsome. I would not be calling a trans man feminine compliments. Beautiful, I probably would stay away from.
Right.
Stuff like that. And also, the actual... I'm not sure how PG-13 we're going to get, but
we moan into a microphone. I am completely... fine with whatever. there's no restrictions here.
So just to give a practical example, then when I am gender bending or flipping scripts, when it comes to I personally prefer being super specific with my language.
Sure.
So be that from reading a script or from writing myself. Mm-hmm. So usually I will refer to the genitalia and I will say exactly what I'm doing. I won't be vague. I won't say, I'm going to, get in your hole now. I don't think that's very sexy. I mean, it can be sexy in some cases, but if you feel like the the performer is avoiding.
Yeah, I guess it could sort of take you out of it, right?
Just for the sake of, yeah, just for the sake of, you know, being broad, then I don't want to do that. Well, anyway, so a practical example is for trans men, for example. Mm-hmm. I would not use the word pussy.
Sure.
I would use the word cunt. I sometimes put in a little compliment, like to kind of set a masculine tone. So like handsome cunt, for example.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Okay. I got a compliment on that a couple of weeks ago. Still trying to figure out what the best language for that is, but...
Yeah. I'd be interested in talking. I've talked with a couple of trans... creators in this space on, mm-hmm. on McGimmies, and one was openly trans at the time, one was going was transitioning, so I'd be really interested to know what language is appropriate and inclusive and not offensive, or you know, this to fairly and to represent, you know, or because there's not enough of that content out there, clearly.
Sure.
I'd be interested to know. I think that's so you're reading about it and talking with, obviously, may I ask, is your best friend aware of what you do and how you contribute to this space?
Yeah. So I talked with her. I actually, my first trans audio, I kind of made a blunder, which I deeply regret. I'm going to give myself a break too, but I didn't trigger warning enough. I would be penetrating vaginally the trans man in that audio, which is, I've found that's fine as long as they know about it. They know what they're getting into, or what I'm getting into.
Like it? Yeah.
So I've after that, I got some comments, or one or two comments pointing that out, saying that it was a little bit jarring to hear that suddenly.
Fair enough.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, it's good feedback.
It was a very constructive, very constructive, very kind. I kind of took a little break, research break from trans content after that.
Right.
Like 2-3 months. I wasn't like full time doing research, but just wanted to make sure that I kind of have a good grip on the terminology and trigger warnings and kind of how to, like, what is trans even?
Yeah, exactly.
Configuration of body parts do you have in this case? You just kind of have to choose something, because some people choose to have operations, some people choose not to, some people can't but they want, some people are on hormonal treatment, some people aren't, some people, like, they feel like they pass, some people feel like they don't pass, some people are like dysphoric all the time, some people don't want to talk about that stuff. There's a lot of different things you can get into with trans folks, and you just have to land on something, basically. That's what I did.
And I guess, like you said, be very comprehensive with your tags and with your posts before they hit that, so that your listener is fully aware, or is as aware as they can be, you know, of what they're about to listen to. So, you know, they don't know.
Yeah,
it's hard.
If you are, if you aren't trans yourself, it can be difficult to kind of understand just how much they're going through with that. Not everyone has a bad time. I'm not saying that, but some people do.
Yeah,
and you have to take care to make sure that they know what they're getting into. Basically, that's why content warnings are good.
Yeah, very, very much so. I agree. I mean, I read a script, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and it, unbeknownst to me at the time, because I cold read, and I'd read the tag, I'd look at the tags, I'd look at the synopsis, and I was like, I'll do that. And got partway through it, and there was a death talking about... as the speaker, I was talking about the death of a sibling, and I thought, whoa, that, because, and you know, not to overshare, but that I have experienced that, and I nearly had to press the stop button, I just record in one take, but that I messaged the writer afterwards. I took a moment at the end of it, went, okay, that happened. But yeah, like you say, it needs to be identified, I guess. I mean, that's my fault. I could have read the script before hitting record, you know. But I just don't. It's, I like to understand, well, discover the story and the arc of the script as I record it. It's just, I don't know, it feels more genuine, and it's like, oh, this is great, you know, for me. It's just my process. But yeah, I had a lovely conversation, with that writer, just saying, hey, I'm going to put this tag in the audio because I think it's important, and I think it'd be really beneficial if you do. So with regards to your research, have you spoken to other VAs in the space or other script writers in the space about trans content and how to identify and, you know, be appropriate and respectful and inclusive?
Yeah. So I think I reached out to 3 or 4 other creators in the community. And I just asked them, like, I don't remember how many questions or what exactly there were at the moment, but I asked them some super specific audio related questions, like how to make, you know, how do I go down on a trans woman and make it sound like I'm going down on a trans woman and not a cis man? Like, can I make that like a little bit softer? What compliments do they want? So, you know, stuff like their cum will taste a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
Things like that is definitely something I'll incorporate into my scripts if I'm writing myself.
Yeah. So you write as well. I mean, yeah. I write not in terms of flipping or gender bending, but you write independently as well?
Yeah. For the most part lately, I've been writing, I think I write more than I do, but when actually looking at my posts, I also feel like, I feel like it's a 50-50 balance at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do write myself.
Do you feel your own scripts, or what sort of scripts do you write?
That really depends.
Yeah. Are they primarily M for F, M for N, M for, or do you flip all of them?
Oh, so when I write my scripts, I flip basically all of them. Some, you know, coming out audios are just not flippable for me. I mean, they're flippable for someone else, but I don't post my scripts. I just have them for myself. So I won't bother creating like the female version of coming out to your best friend, for example.
Yeah. So you're writing for male voice or for I know I've had other creators write for female voice if they identify as male, just because it's content that they actually want to hear themselves. But that is that the case? Do you write anything like that, or is it primarily for you to fill, or a male voice to fill?
It's only for me to fill. Yeah.
Right, so essentially original content.
Yeah, no one else has seen my scripts, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Okay, I get it now. Sorry, I thought you were making
public scriptoffers. I wouldn't mind posting it. It's just, I just haven't bothered, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how long have you been recording in this space?
It's, I think it'll be, 2 years now.
Oh, fantastic.
In May.
Yeah. Have you seen, I mean, I've certainly seen a change over the past couple of years. I think, well, the world's changed over the last couple of years. But have you seen a different sort of uptake with your content, or have you seen that a direct effect from, you know, what's changed within the world?
Well, I started during COVID, though.
Oh, so okay.
I can't really compare, you know, 2020, May, you know, March was kind of the
kickoff month,
time when it started. Yeah. Release date for COVID. It wasn't, but
COVID posted.
I don't really have a comparison.
Right. Okay. So with that, what prompted you to do this in the beginning? Why did you think, well, I'm going to record stuff and post it for other people to listen to?
So I was lurking in the community for about a year before I started doing anything, and I had this one experience when I was like a teenager. I was playing World of Warcraft, and I was doing, so I was playing with others. I didn't usually play with others, but I hopped into voice channel just to like coordinate a battle or a raid or whatever it was, and There was this one woman, she complimented me on my voice, saying, "Oh, it's dark and handsome." And that was it. There was nothing more. Just like a nice compliment. And I was like, I've never received a compliment in my life who's not from my mom. And so I started thinking, maybe I do have a good voice. And then I did nothing with it for like 15 years until I started here. But I just kind of always kept that in the back of my mind. It's weird how like one like, compliments that you just throw out like that.
A throwaway
how they can actually moment. People can cling on to them.
Yeah, no, I get it. Gosh, if I'd heard you in a voice channel, I was like, you need to record. you need to share that. That's not fair to keep to yourself. So 15 years later, you then thought, yeah, I'm going to do it. And how did you start?
So I started by, well, I guess you need a little bit of like mental back ground for this. I was really aware of my accent. I'm being Norwegian.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that much of a Norwegian accent right now. I think some people can hear it. It's not, you know, I don't think most people would figure out that I'm Norwegian based on my accent alone. But I was really aware when I was getting started. So I reached out to VA, who is now no longer on Reddit, unfortunately, anymore. Asked them 10 very specific questions, one of which was regarding my accent. And I was just like really insecure about it. Oh. I didn't want to come off as having an accent. But also I saw that lots of people love bilingual scripts and lots of people love having accents in their audios.
Oh, yes.
So I was a little bit unsure if I should like feel like I should get rid of my accent. So I started by asking a VA these 10 questions.
Yeah.
They were so kind with their answer and we remained friends for a little while after that.
Sure.
Until they left. But yeah, that's basically how I started, kind of mentally preparing myself. And it was just super wholesome. Then I picked a script. I think I just hit a really good script to fill.
Right.
It was like a sleep aid / like emotional comfort audio where I'm a body pillow.
Oh my God.
And it's a gay audio, so I started off in the gay community, just like off the bat. So the reason I picked it was because you just need to have a soft voice for that. I wasn't prepared to do like grunting and man sounds, and you know that came later.
You got to warm up to that.
It was a good start. Yeah, I was good at picking my first script, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that you considered getting rid of your accent because. Yeah. I
it's silly now.
Well, yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I'm very conscious of mine, but I also recognize that it's a point of difference for me. I very much appreciate your voice and your accent, although I wouldn't have picked
likewise.
It as... Oh, thank you. Oh, gosh, see, I'm not really good with receiving praise, but I'll take it. Thank you. I wouldn't have personally picked that. Oh, I've been able to identify that you're Norwegian. And actually, I was in a voice chat earlier this afternoon, and I said, I'm having a chat with someone who's Norwegian. And one of the people I was in the chat with, unbeknownst to me, is Swedish, but also partly Norwegian. And and I went, whoa, look out. I don't have a fine-tuned ear in that sort of in terms of European accents or Scandinavian accents, most definitely. But I'm so glad you started recording. How was the reception to that? Like, were you surprised at how well received it was?
Well, it was my first audio, so I had never. Like shown my body off or done anything that would come across as, you know, me making porn. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So I was super. I don't usually get nervous.
Yeah.
But I was kind of nervous the day after. I posted from Norway, which means I think I was it was in the evening or something.
Right.
Right before I went to bed, posted it, and then I just waited. And then in the morning, I had like 5 followers or something, and I was like,
"What?
5 followers? 5 people?
People are following me?
Listen to my voice? Yeah." So that was pretty. I don't know. I guess I didn't quite understand what I was getting into. Mm. Like how people would receive it. I didn't think so much about that, but it was really, it felt really good that people would, you know, upvote and comment and follow me. And
yeah. And why did you do it? What's your motivation? Why did you want to, are you wanting to give back to the community? Was it a creative outlet? Was it just a way to express yourself? Was what really was, you know, your underlying reasoning for doing it?
I'm not going to lie and say it was me giving back to the community. But it's a creative outlet for sure.
Yeah.
I got inspired by lots of the audios, especially the kind of weirder scripts and also some kinks that I just hadn't gotten into before I went into the Gone Wild audio community.
So it's opened you up to new aspects personally as well?
Yeah, stuff like primal, the primal kink or the dynamic was not something I had considered before, but some audios just made this sound really fucking hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some daddy dom stuff I was very averse to in the beginning, not like kink shaming in any way, but I was just uncomfortable with it until I heard a couple of audios that made it sound like it wasn't an outlet for creepy people. It was actually wholesome in those audios. And they made it sound like this was something that would speak to my caretaking side, for example.
Oh, very much so. I align with you so much in that respect.
Like that.
Yeah, that whole sort of nurturing aspect of that particular kink, should we call it that? The role play of it for me is something I was completely unaware of for myself, you know, that, you know, I sort of fall into this mummy, dom, milf type, older woman, younger, male or female, and I sit very comfortably in it because there is that underlying caretaking or nurturing, and it just speaks to me, and I need it. I mean, that's I totally get. And but prior to that, I was like, I'm not going to be your mummy. What? No.
Yeah.
But it's only because I didn't know. But GWA and the other subreddits and audios in general just sort of, changed my way of thinking, or I understood it better, I guess.
Yeah. No, I feel the same about lots of kinks, even the kinks that we're already into. Some of them are just, I get new eyes on them. It's not just me, you know, fantasizing about them or doing them in real life.
Yeah.
It's seeing someone else's take on them.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And are there still things that, you know, you haven't sort of explored that you want to know more about, or in terms of personally, but also as a creator, are there perhaps genres out there that you thought, you know, I've never done, I don't know, I've never done a hypno thing. Just as an example, are there things out there that you're keen to explore?
Definitely. So I'm really fluctuating when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's almost like half a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just had this idea of doing some orientation play, so sexual orientation.
Oh, right.
Playing with that. So stuff like making a gay man bisexual for a little moment.
Yeah.
For example. You know, that's kind of getting into uncomfortable stuff for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think unless you're like bi or pan to begin with.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get into that, but you know, being I'll just call myself human sexual. I just like people.
Yep.
Be liking everyone who can consent, obviously.
Sure.
It's difficult to kind of see the difficulty in that, but I can definitely see how sexy it is to make someone kind of like doubt their sexuality.
Ooh. Absolutely.
While I'm kind of driving that.
Yeah. And can I say, there's, I was privy to a preview of and there's not many out there, the tag in the sort of bisexual sort of a threesome and an introduction. It wasn't an introduction or an orientation, but there's not a lot of that content out there. And I listened to it, and good Lord, was it hot. I very much enjoyed that dynamic of questioning and just exploring a little, you know. And it's sadly very underrepresented, unrepresented in the community. So that's exciting that you're doing that. I've had a look at some of your scripts there and see that tag come up every now and then.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I've only done one so far, but I definitely will do more.
Yeah.
In the future. I've seen. I am. I would be curious about like making a lesbian also bisexual for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm very aware that's like incel bait, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'll do that, even though I think I could make it sexy. I've heard people make it sexy before.
Well, I guess it's that comes back to your motivation for doing this. If it's, you know, part of it is the creative and outlet and expressing yourself and exploring stuff for yourself. And if you're doing this for yourself as much as, you know, for general consumption, public consumption, then why not? You know, if you find it sexy, and if you find it, you know, if it satisfies you and fulfills you as a creator, then wow, you know, that's, I don't know, it just makes it all the more genuine and authentic, I think, which comes through, you know, in the audio. So you mentioned that there are your best friend is a wed. Is it something that you're pretty open about, the fact that you create erotic audio?
I don't go flaunting it to everyone. Like, I don't bring it up.
Hey, guess what I did last night, yeah.
But, well, I mean, sometimes, like, if I'm playing a game and there's, like, if I'm playing games with my friends, and I'm like, there's nothing to talk about, maybe I'll bring it up. I don't know. I try to not make them uncomfortable.
Sure.
You know, you keep track of pet friends' receptibility.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm pretty open about it.
That's great.
I don't really mind anyone knowing. The only gripe I would have with being fully open, like to absolutely the whole world, is that I might get back into teaching at some point.
I've done
some professional teaching in the past,
and
I made teacher-student audios.
Yep. You sound very familiar.
I don't want that conversation. I don't want to have that conversation with a potential future employer, nor with my students saying like, hey, I listened to your last audio. It was so good. I'm like, please don't. I would not want that. I know myself how, like, I know that I'm keeping fantasy from reality.
Yeah.
They might not.
Yes, that's kind of the fine line, isn't it? Of being able to detach from the character being portrayed and the creator, I think, is important.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm fortunate enough to be quite open. But I also formerly was a teacher, and I just thought there's no way I could do this, particularly being one of, you know, really only a handful of Australians in this space, or female Australians in this space. I couldn't do it. I just don't think I could be open about it and teach. I get what you're saying. You do not need to have that conversation with anybody on a professional basis. Sir, I heard...
it's only for... It's only for the teaching, potential teaching jobs, though.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't mind in my normal, regular daytime job. Like, I've applied for this job with porn on my portfolio anyways.
Yeah?
Which was not audio, other
okay,
porn.
Yeah, yeah.
Porn-ish or explicit stuff. It wasn't really porn.
Sure.
And I got the job, so hey.
Hey, love it. Fantastic. Because anybody who says they don't watch or listen is not being honest. The majority, I don't think. But yeah, that's fantastic that you can be quite open about it. With regards to your content, back to your content, do you do, other than the scripts that you write, do you do any improv or is it all fairly script based?
I've done one improv. I'm terrible at it. I'm absolutely shit. I'm trying to work on it though.
Yeah.
I had like a, I forget how many it was, like some milestone of subscribers or no, followers. I mean, so I decided I'd do something creative, and I told my small fan base that, hey, you can pick out three tags from my previous audios, mix them up however you like, and I'll make an audio. Whoever gets most upvotes, I'll make that audio.
Okay.
And I think this was before I even started writing anything. So I didn't want to bother writing a script. So I got three tags. It was like, forget what it was, like body worship, massaging, whatever. And I just improv that.
How did that go?
Surprisingly well. I don't think it'll go that well next time. I think it felt like more of a fluke. I've tried improving before.
Yeah.
I had a collab. My very first collab attempt would be improv, which is didn't make it through because I get so stuck in the details. I don't, like, I'm not good at driving the plot forwards.
Yeah.
I'll just keep going, like, okay, we're foreplaying now. Yeah. It's foreplay mode. Yeah. Let's just foreplay for 40 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
My collab, if I'm doing, so that was together with someone else live. So they would have to drive me, and that would be like kind of, it was just kind of difficult.
Sure.
It was my first attempt, though.
Sure.
So it might go better next time. Yeah. But I'm still not very good at improv, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish I was.
Oh, me
I'm
too.
Still practicing.
Me too. I struggle with it. It's something I work on, but at the same time, I kind of think if you're working on improv, does that not negate the whole situation in a way? It's like, is it improv if you've worked on it? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is it really jazz if it's written down?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to discuss that with you.
Yeah, no, maybe not.
You
no.
probably know better.
As a former music student, no, and an educator, yeah. Oh, is it jazz? I'm the same as you. I struggle with it. But what I do find for me is that I can feed off somebody else really well.
Exactly,
you know, so I like that. I get, but I need that prompt, I need that energy, I need that, like you said, sort of drive from someone else, and that can be hard to find, somebody
yeah,
really compatible with.
I think it's difficult. I think it's still a little bit difficult on voice if we're both improvising.
Yeah.
If we're both reading a script, that's fine. We know our lines, we know our, you know, we know when we're supposed to go, we know when, like, if I'm reading someone else's line, I know when to stop.
Yeah.
If it's from a script.
Yeah.
If it's like in a, but if we're both improving live together on a call like this, for example.
Yeah.
Not that we're collabing. It's a little bit difficult for me because I don't know when I'm saying too much.
Okay.
You know, where's that fine limit of rambling versus making quality content.
Yeah. Okay. Jump in now. I'm waiting. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know how to identify that on this fly. Probably when listening through it. But
yeah.
Then it's too late.
I've done a number of collabs over the past sort of 9 months, and in particular, to be doing too many of them. I don't know. Well, is there too many? I don't know. But there are a couple of other creators who I've done, you know, a large sum of them with. And we know each other well enough now to be able to, I think, you know, successfully improv together and do that sort of call and response type, you know, flow of you know, an improv. We've not done it. Maybe we should. I don't know. But, you know, in the few times that we have had a script and improv is there, it flows quite effortlessly now because I know them. You know, I kind of know what they like. I know what they lean towards. I know, you know, how they respond to certain things. So I can use that. Yeah. And I think if you don't have that connection or that established sort of working relationship with somebody, that could be difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we're all here for the scripts then, okay?
Yeah. That reminds me, I recently did a collab. It's not released yet. With someone I hadn't spoken to before. Mm-hmm. I just kind of picked up on, hey, I need a male VA for this script. Want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And we did it, and I'd never spoken to him before.
Yeah.
We just had this great chemistry off the bat.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And so when the improv parts came, we had great improv together.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So I guess my improv is improving.
It's there. Right,
it's there.
It just perhaps needs that. I don't know. More. Just do more. Do more. Make more.
Yeah.
And I guess it will maybe get to that point where it does flow effortlessly and naturally. Getting back to sort of real world stuff, have you, with regards to the people that listen to you and, you know, comments or feedback or, I don't know if you're, I don't know if you're, are your DMs open? I don't know. Are your DMs open? Can people message you? Can they privately message?
Oh, yeah.
With regards to that, have you encountered, which unfortunately being a male voice in this space has been, you know, has been problematic at times. It's not something I usually sort of talk about, but I think from the male's perspective, I am getting a lot of feedback from, I've got an anonymous Google form, wanting to know how males are responding to, you know, sort of unwanted or unsolicited attention or, you know, the development of, you know, so that not crossing the line, not realizing that we are creating a fantasy here. We are, you know, alive, breathing human beings. We're not the characters that we portray. Not all the time. Maybe sometimes we are. I don't know. Some of it's very real me. Have you had any issues or had to address that with listeners or in general?
Not that often.
Good.
I feel like I'm lucky for not being, like, I'm not super popular and I'm happy that way. So I don't get, like, a whole bunch of attention on every single post that I make. That would be, you know, potentially malicious or not necessarily. I don't believe that most people are malicious, but they can do malicious things regardless.
Yeah.
I've had a few. there are three that sticks out to me.
Yeah.
One was someone went into my DMs and said something like, oh, daddy, that was such a nice audio. You made me so horny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. First of all, thank you for the compliment. Mm. Second of all, do not call me daddy. I am not your daddy.
Yeah.
We do not have any dynamic. So I, you know, just...
That's a no.
Just treat me as a person. And I said that in a more, like, constructive and nice way.
Yeah.
And,
but essentially, nip that in the bud. I'm not comfortable with
nip that.
Nip
that in the bud. And he was like, oh, geez, I'm so sorry. I was super horny yesterday. I'm really sorry. So, that's fine. One time I was collabing with, not sure, I won't name drop.
Sure.
I'm doing a collab because it might be a little bit uncomfortable on this particular topic.
Yeah.
I was doing a collab with a female VA. And we got